At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
That indeed it is, and we are joined by Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries. You guys have been streaming the trial every single day. I've been tuning in and out between doing things over here. And my goodness, as we're recording this, we're pretty close to the end of week 2 here and about to enter day 8. And it feels like we've already been doing this for like 20 some days.
Really does.
Why really, is that? Yeah. This is like it's one we've all been kind of like anticipating for a while. Maybe that's why. And now we're like watching every inch of the damn thing. Okay, so here we are this far in. We still have the prosecution presenting their case. And it's been interesting. Cross has been interesting. The presentation from the prosecution, I think, has been really interesting. Let's just start there with the prosecution and how you think they're doing thus far getting their case across.
Yeah, I think Brennan's doing a much, much better job than Lally did in terms of just presentation alone. You know, they were incorporating the clips of Karen's inconsistent statements right from the get. He's plugging them in like it's, you know, a made for TV movie. You know, he gets
it's like Mad Libs.
Yeah, it's unusual. I've never seen it done that way, but it's certainly effective. You know, I mean, he can really play a clip. She's given him the leeway to play a clip whenever he sees fit, which is unusual. And he'll play them, I'm sure, all throughout the closing arguments when we get there again. So it's like, it's not going to be a one and done type situation, but in terms of how he's decided to set up this trial, in stark contrast to what Lally did, I think we were talking about it last time. I always refer to what Lally did as kind of a pre-buttal case where we spent the first 2.5 weeks with him just trying to get in front of the entire third party culprit theory, calling all those witnesses up, trying to address that on the front end as opposed to the back end. And Brennan has completely abandoned that, which is the right move. I mean, this is how he should have tried it the first time. It's way more effective. It's getting the jurors the information that matters in this case in terms of trying to get a conviction for the Commonwealth. So in terms of the way he's setting up the witnesses, you know, I mean, they brought him on because he knows how to try a case. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. So in terms of everything that I've seen thus far, and even though we're ending week two, I think we're only on witness 7 or 8, maybe. There's some lengthy witnesses. Ian Whiffen took quite a bit of time. And then, of course, Jen McCabe she'll be a day and a half or 2 days, I think, when you count, you know, when she started through the full day.
Let's
yesterday and then ending tomorrow with her, the end of her cross and redirect. So.
Yeah. Before we get to Jennifer McCabe, let's talk about Ian Whiffen and the testimony that he brought from Cellebrite and his explanation of how the data works. This was a little bit more in depth than I think we saw last time. And this time we even got a live in-person show of seeing how this in fact works. About the 227, how's long to die in cold? Here's why it was actually 6-something. Here's how this works. Here's how this phone works. Obviously I know the defense of Karen Reed is still going to say, well, the other software says otherwise, but look, this software seems to dig a bit deeper than the other one and the other version, and so it can give you more accurate information. I don't understand how that is being played as that's inaccurate, rather than it's more accurate because it's just more in depth. It's kind of correcting the issue of time stamping things based on the browser being open. It's now giving a more accurate look. I know it's reality that some people don't want to hear, but is there still a legitimate argument saying that, oh, that's still not accurate?
Yeah, I think ultimately when I watched Whiffen the second time, I mean, they certainly tried to clear up his testimony and make it a little more palatable for jurors, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. We don't matter. The judge doesn't matter. The only people that matter with respect to the verdict in this case is the 12 people plus the alternates that are sitting in that box. So I think from that perspective, it was easier to understand. I think ultimately what's going to happen, and I thought that Alessi did what, you know, any decent defense attorney is going to do. And Alessi's a really bright guy and he comes hyper prepared. You know, I mean, he picked apart the things that a good defense attorney will pick apart in that, in terms of the direct, you know, I mean, the things that you've got, you know, that they removed that feature right after the trial, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing timing wise for them to have done. You know, I don't know if it came as clear as you're making it out to be in terms of Magnet not being as good as Cellebrite. Cause I mean, like the thing that I keep trying to explain to people about these companies that exist that have this software that extracts data from Apple phones in particular, that's where the real issue is they just, they're guessing, you know what I mean? They don't know, like they don't know the secret sauce of Apple. So to a certain extent, you know, they're having to guess because I mean, that's why these companies exist. Like we can't pretend like Cellebrite is some offshoot of Apple and that they have all of the data that they need to have. I mean, the entire existence of those companies to try to figure out Apple's iOS.
Sure. You know, but the fact that the data was able to be dissected that far. I mean, they're not guessing at that. That's what they dissected it deeper and deeper. They could see how it was being recorded and how one could easily conceive this being at this time, but how actually it's this time. And here's why. Here's maybe, I don't know what to call it, a glitch or an oversight of how the program worked or how it labeled time, but they showed how it worked. And I don't know why the other company still chose the other way. Maybe they just, I don't know. I don't know if they're a step behind or what, but whatever it may be, they were able to dig it down that far and show a specific time. And that specific time that it shows that would be right where it would make sense that she'd be searching how long to die in cold.
Yeah, I mean, for me, kind of any of these companies, when it boils down to it, is still a question of interpretation.
Yeah.
Because they're having to guess. You know what I mean? They just don't have that data. They don't have the ins and outs of what the iOS and what makes it operate.
But so he has the data from what he's pulled down. I mean, there is data there, but it's...
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is the interpretation of it. Okay. You're talking like you're acting like it's in definitives that they definitively know the answer and they just don't. I mean, the fact like to counter your argument, I would say, well, they had it wrong at first. Mm-hmm. So what makes you argue that it's right now? You know what
because
I'm saying?
Because they upgraded their software to read it a more accurate way because they identified that, oh, yes, this could come across.
That's what
this
they're
way.
Telling you.
Well, I know that's what they're telling me. But the thing is, that would then have to put them in the camp of being part of the conspiracy.
No. Not at all. not really.
Why else would they say
if their software originally said it was there,
sure,
and they told you that this is foolproof, and then you learn that it's not what like
well initially
for any of the company, whether it's Cellebrite or Magnet, any of them.
But initially,
what
it was
I'm trying to say is Tony that what these are companies that exist because they're trying to dig in to Apple's iOS to get to the inner workings, and what I'm suggesting is that. I don't know that they're able to capably do it. My entire point is whatever Green's going to come up and say that at the end of the day, to me, the 227 search isn't going to matter one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was defending the case, I would have abandoned the 227 search completely. Like it just would have been something that I wouldn't have dealt with at all. I'm of the camp. I'm not digging into this conspiracy.
I am not either. And that you're exactly right. Cause that's the thing. It you would have to believe all these other pieces for that piece to make sense, which I don't feel that it makes a lot of sense. Again, not to say that she's not innocent, not to say that she could be, there's not enough reasonable doubt to not convict her.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. The neighborhood was picture perfect. Manicured lawns, kids riding bikes, friendly smiles exchanged over white picket fences. And then there was him, the guy who never made eye contact, the one who only left his house at night, dragging black trash bags to the curb. Bags that sometimes twitched. He's just a little odd, they said. Just keeps to himself. Until the smell started. Until the missing pets turned into missing people. Until someone finally had the nerve to peek inside that basement window. And if they had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free, and before everyone else, they could have recognized the warning signs. They could have gotten out, but they didn't. And now, they're part of the next episode. Don't make the same mistake. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.